This is the last day of this April 2008 seven-day session. And today we'll take up a koan in the Mumon Kan. This is number 25, which I don't have with me. Luke, can you get 25 out of the Doksan room? Mumon Kan. Kyozan's Dream Talk. The case. Kyozan, that's the Japanized version of his Chinese name, Yangshan. And because Yangshan is easy to pronounce, let's go with Yangshan. Yangshan dreamed he went to Maitreya's place and was shown to the third seat. A senior monk struck with a gavel and announced, "Today the talk will be given by the one in the third seat." Yangshan stood up, struck with the gavel, and said, "The truth of the Mahayana is beyond the four propositions and transcends the 100 negations. Listen carefully." We do have some information on Yangshan, reading again from Andy Ferguson's Zen's Chinese Heritage. Yangshan's dates are 807 to 883. And he was the main disciple of Guishan, who in Japanese is Isan. Yangshan's parents wouldn't let him become a monk, so Yangshan wanted to demonstrate his determination by cutting off two of his fingers. He vowed that he would seek the true Dharma to repay his filial obligations. This is a Confucian culture. This thing about cutting off fingers, there's a strain of that in Chinese Buddhism, done to for just for this kind of reason, to show one's complete renunciation, one's zeal strikes us as a little over the top, but he one way or another, he became a novice. But before becoming fully ordained, he traveled north to visit the famous temples that existed in the area of modern Hunan and Jiangxi provinces. And those are in the southeast of China. After he had traveled for some time, Yangshan set down his staff and trained under Dan Yuan Yingzhen, who was disciple of the national teacher, Nanyang Hui Zhong. And there with this Dan Yuan, he had his first great insight, to use the words that appear here in this text, his first great insight. He then traveled to train under Guishan, the one who became, from whom he went on to receive Dharma transmission. And he realized true deep enlightenment under Guishan. It says the teacher and student had the closest spiritual affinity. Their names were later combined to form the name of the Guiyang school of Zen. It was one of the main lineages in China. It says Yangshan drew students from throughout the realm. I think it's important to remember that these accounts, these records that we read from here in this book, are translations of the original. So the language is sometimes not contemporary, but the translator is careful to keep to the original, has a kind of a almost a mythic quality to it. He drew students from throughout the realm. The Guiyang school used sacred symbols to convey Buddhist truths. According to tradition, the sixth patriarch himself was the source of these symbols. And they were passed from the sixth patriarch to this national teacher, Nanyang, and then to Dan Yuan, who then gave the symbols in a secret manuscript to Yangshan. I don't know if these are the... Yes, these are the 97 circles, each symbolizing something else. By the way, I know nothing about these 97 circles other than what we're going to read now. And we're back now to the to sort of an inset here. It says, Dan Yuan greatly esteemed Yangshan and said to him, previously, the national teacher received the transmission of a total of 97 symbolic circles from the sixth ancestor. He, in turn, passed these to me, saying, 30 years after I've died, a novice monk will come from the south who will greatly revive this teaching. When that time comes, pass the teaching on to him and don't let it end. And then Dan Yuan goes on, today I transmit them to you. You must uphold and preserve them. When he had finished speaking, he passed the secret text to Yangshan. After receiving and examining the text, Yangshan burned it. Wonderful. One day, Dan Yuan said to Yangshan, the symbols that I gave you are extremely rare, esoteric, and precious. Yangshan said, after I examined them, I burned them. I love this spare style. It's the same with the koans. It just gives you the basic facts, the data. I often think it's like a new coloring book for a child where it's just the outlines and then it's up to you to fill it all in. After I examined them, I burned them. Dan Yuan said, this Dharma gate of ours can't be understood by most people. Only the Buddha, the ancestors, and all the holy ones can fully understand it. How could you burn it? Yangshan said, After examining it, I fully comprehended its meaning. Then there was no use keeping the text. Dan Yuan said, Even so, when transmitting this to disciples, people of future times won't believe it. Yangshan said, If you would like another copy, that won't be a problem. I'll make another copy and give it to you. Then it won't be lost. Dan Yuan said, Please do. That's it. Okay. And then here is Yangshan's encounter with Guishan, who he came to collaborate with in forming this lineage of their own. Yangshan asked Guishan, What is the true abode of Buddha? Guishan said, Think of the unfathomable mystery and return your thoughts to the inexhaustible, numinous light. When thoughts are exhausted, you've arrived at the source, where true nature is revealed as eternally abiding. In that place, there is no difference between affairs and principle, and the true Buddha is manifested. Upon hearing these words, Yangshan experienced great enlightenment. It sounds like quite a wordy passage to trigger an enlightenment. A lot of abstract words. And it just goes to show that Yangshan's mind must have been just perfectly ripe to have even this somewhat philosophical language turn his mind around. One day, Master Yangshan entered the hall and addressed the monks, saying, Each and every one of you, turn the light inward. Don't try to remember what I'm saying. For a beginningless eon, you have faced away from the light and been shrouded in darkness. The roots of delusion are deep. They're difficult to cut off and uproot. So the Buddha established expedient means to grab your attention. These are like showing yellow leaves to a crying child who imagines they're gold and thus stops crying. You act as though you're in a shop where someone sells 100 goods made from gold and jade, but you're trying to weigh each item. So you say that Shirdo has a real gold shop? This is another great master of that era. Well, in my shop, there's a wide range of goods. If someone comes looking for mouse turds, then I give him some. If someone comes looking for real gold, then I give it to him. A monk asked, I don't want mouse turds. May I have the master's real gold? Yangshan said, If you try to bite down on the head of a flying arrow, you can try until the year of the ass, but you won't succeed. The monk couldn't answer. Yangshan said, If you want to exchange something, we can make a deal. If you don't want to exchange anything, then we can't. And then he goes on, If I truly speak of the Zen, then there won't be a single companion at your side. This is what the Buddha is meant by when the Buddha was first born. According to legend, he took seven steps, and he says, above the heavens and below the heavens, I alone, the world honored one. This is a true samadhi. If I truly speak of Zen, then there won't be a single companion at your side. How can this be if there's 500 or 700 in the assembly? If I talk about this and that, and you strain your neck trying to pick something up, then it will be like fooling a little child with an empty hand. There's nothing authentic about it. Today, I'm clarifying what is holy, which is not a matter of collecting and calming the mind. Instead, you must practice to realize the true sea of self nature. Of what use is there for 3 clarifications or 6 understandings? What I speak of is the ultimate matter. If right now you want to know mind and arrive at the root, then arrive at the root. Don't worry about the tips or the branches. If you do this, then hereafter you will possess it yourself. But if you don't attain the root and just use your emotions to seek it, then you will never succeed. You'll never see what Master Guishan spoke of, the place where ideas of mundane and sacred are exhausted, where matter and principle are united, and the true eternal body of the Tathagata is manifested. Another time, a man asked Yangshan, "May I hear the principle of attaining mind?" Yangshan said, "If you want to attain mind, then there's no mind which can be attained. It is this unattainable mind which is known as truth." A monk who came to practice under Yangshan asked, "Does the master recognize written characters?" Yangshan said, "I recognize some." It was only the highly educated in China in ancient times who could. Who were literate, who knew this vast vocabulary of Chinese characters. It's a genuine question or something. Anyway, Yangshan says, "I recognize some." The monk then drew a circle in the air and acted as though he presented it to Yangshan. Yangshan acted as if to use his sleeves to erase it. That should be no surprise to us after burning the books. The monk then made another circle in the air and presented it to Yangshan. Yangshan received the circle with both hands and then threw it behind him. The monk then stared at Yangshan. Yangshan looked down. The monk then walked in a circle around Yangshan. Yangshan hit the monk with a staff. The monk then went out. Here's a beauty, short one. A monk asked Yangshan, "What is the difference between heaven and hell?" Yangshan drew a line in the ground. Here's another statement directly from the ancient scrolls. Yangshan acted according to conditions to benefit beings and became a great example of the Zen school. When near death, a great many disciples were at his side to attend to him. Yangshan took up a brush and wrote a verse for the monks to read. Here's the verse. Countless disciples, I look across you all and you gaze back. Two mouths, one without a tongue. This is my teaching. At exactly noon, Yangshan sat on the dais and bade farewell to the congregation. He then recited another verse. Completing 77 years, today it ends. When the orb of the sun is just at noon, the two hands fold the legs. Upon saying these words, Yangshan used his hands to fold his legs into the cross-legged posture and then passed away. So now back to our case, Yangshan's dream talk. Yangshan dreamed he went to Maitreya's place and was shown to the third seat. Maitreya's place is what's called the Tushta heaven, which is, according to Buddhist mythology, this is the realm inhabited by Maitreya, who is said to be still evolving in his final stages of evolving to his place as the Buddha of the next world cycle. According to Buddhism, there's one completely enlightened Buddha of every eon of time. In ours, it was Shakyamuni Buddha. The seven before our era were Vipassana Buddha, Shikin Buddha, and so forth. And then Maitreya is said to be the one of the next cycle. And in this dream, a senior monk struck with a gavel and announced, "Today, the talk will be given by the one in the third seat." I could imagine that some people, because so many people have a fear of public speaking, some people might not welcome being announced all of a sudden as the one giving the talk. But in his dream, Yangshan had no such concern. He stood up, struck with a gavel, and said, "The truth of the Mahayana is beyond the four propositions and transcends the 100 negations. Listen carefully." The four propositions of course, these are just philosophical categories that are meant to cover everything imaginable. So the four propositions are the one, the many, being, and non-being. The 100 negations are made up with four negatives for each of these propositions. Not, 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 neither not nor not not, and both not and not not, which makes 16. This is out of India. Then each of these 16 is found in the past, present, and future. That makes 48. And these have either appeared or have not yet appeared, so that makes 96. Negate the original 4, and you get the 100 negations. Of course. This stuff was taken very seriously by Buddhists for centuries, maybe still today. You see what a gust of fresh air Zen was to just bring it all back to direct experience, not memorizing all of these things, but just the thing itself. And that's what Yangshan in this dream cries out. The truth of the Mahayana is beyond the 4 propositions and transcends the 100 negations. It's beyond everything you can conceive of. Every thought, every concept, every category, every idea, every notion, every division. In other words, it's not what you think. No matter how you construe it, no matter what way you think of it, it's not there. It's not mu. Listen carefully. Now we'll go to Zen Master Mumon's commentary and verse. First, the commentary. Now tell me, did he give a talk or did he not? If you open your mouth, you're lost. If you keep your mouth shut, you also miss it. And even if you neither open nor keep your mouth shut, you are 108,000 miles away. So what then? What is it? Listen carefully. The verse, in broad daylight under the blue sky, he expounds a dream while in a dream. Absurd, absurd. He deceived the whole assembly. Broad daylight under the blue sky. It's talking about a dream while in a dream. Is this dream that he's in? And in what sense is it a dream that he's expounding? After all, this is the Dharma. This is a great convocation of, in Maitreya's place, the Tushta heaven. And then Mumon, absurd, absurd. To imagine that this Dharma can be encompassed in words, we can ever really present it directly through words, is absurd. Words can be used to point to it, to thrust it before us. He deceived the whole assembly. It's how a teacher feels after every teisho, to some faint way, maybe not thought out, but that it's all absurd. Talking about this, here it is. Why talk about it? It's not then. Stop and recite the four vows.